This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
So I thought it'd be a great opportunity, not only talk a little baseball, but talk, of course, college football, as we always do here on Three Man Front with our good friend over in Mississippi. And that is Matt Wyatt, the outstanding radio host. He's also a color analyst for the Mississippi State Bulldogs and played a little quarterback down in Prattville, Alabama. You remember those good old days, don't you, Matt?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't that long ago, as far as I'm concerned, Pat. It may be a long time ago for you or somebody else, but it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, I remember it. Hey, you'll find this interesting, Pat. I had a little neat little Prattville memory that popped up on my timeline this week.
Yeah, I did. I think you tweeted that out. I did see that.
Did you see that?
I did.
The official Prattville football Twitter account sent a video out from the 1984 championship game at Legion Field. The great Kevin Turner, God rest his soul, was punting. He kicked the ball about 15 yards and it rolled about 50 on that artificial turf. He had a 60-yard punt. It was great.
And Scott Griffin is sitting in.
That's
and, of
funny.
Course, Scott, were you at Channel 13 then?
Probably,
Were you covering that, the 95-yard punt there?
I don't recall it like he does, for sure, but I'm sure I was working in high school football.
Okay, so let's talk first off about this Mississippi State baseball team. Obviously, you cover it extremely close. You talk about it every day on your radio show. So kind of give us the lowdown last night. I mean, what were the feelings going into that eighth inning and then the next two innings, what took place? It was just an absolute turn of fortune. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. One way to describe it is it definitely is a top 10 moment in the history of Mississippi State baseball. And for anybody that understands that program and what baseball means at that school, that's saying something, the fact that it's definitely in the top 10. And then the argument is like, where in the top 10? Because it's up there. We have to see how this thing plays out. But if they go on and win a national championship, the fact is that game and that moment last night is going to be right there at the top of your all-time list, okay? They were beat. I mean, this kid for Virginia, McGarry, was like Scherzer. He had Scherzer-type stuff. I'm talking a fastball 96 that's moving all over the place. He's pinpoint, a breaking ball that, you know, you just had no chance of hitting, and he's located, landing that breaking ball, catching a corner. And so he has this no hitter going, and one swing from a freshman left-handed hitter who was a big time prospect, and he came on to school, Kellum Clark, and just smokes one out to right field. That was the first hit of the game, and then the floodgates open. And, you know, it's easy for us to second guess, but after that one swing, he gives up that one hit. It makes it a 4-2 game, and they made the decision to make a pitching change to take McGarry out of the game. State went on and got four more runs in that inning, including that three-run home run from Tanner Allen, the Alabama native. And Allen has reached legendary status in Starkville. He kind of already had, he and Rowdy Jordan, but after that moment last night, they may be looking at like measuring for a statue if they can go on and win the rest of these.
Appropriately named Clark, right? With Kellen.
Huh? Hey, listen, you're exactly right. I said, you know, what are the chances that a big left-handed hitter named Clark with Clark on the back of his Mississippi State jersey has a moment like that in Omaha? What are the chances? It's just incredible.
Well, let me go back to the SEC baseball tournament over here, because after going 0-2, yeah, there were a lot of questions about this baseball team, but you know, they got right. They went home. They did not lose the fact that they were going to get to host a regional and then winning that and then getting the super regional. Playing a very talented. A lot of people nationally thought Notre Dame was going to get Mississippi State, but they didn't. Just talk about what took place that week leading up to that first regional.
Well, you know, that's it. The Hoover experience was awful. It was embarrassing for them and for the fan base. Cause you guys know this, y'all are there. States fans, they buy the tickets, man. They're ready for Hoover every year. We want to make a deep run. And it wasn't just two losses. It was back-to-back 10 run rule losses and go back home. And so there was some embarrassment. And I think they had a really good, spirited week of practice, according to players and coaches. And when they rolled out there for that regional, I think they just had their minds right and understood that, you know, we're a good baseball team, and, you know, we didn't show up in Hoover. And, you know, with the home atmosphere at Duty Noble Field, they just turned us, you know, flipped the switch and kind of started playing to their potential. Now, they didn't, Pat, get dominant starting pitching in the regional or in the super regional. They won other ways. They won with their bullpen. They won by hitting the baseball. And then, you know, you come to Omaha and play Texas and win with dominant starting pitching. You know, so this is this little 2-3 week run here is an example of what this team has done all year long. They'll find different ways to win each night out. And they don't necessarily have one single identity, and that's just how they beat you. That one thing they overwhelm you with, they find new ways to win, it seems like, every ball game.
For folks listening in to Matt Wyatt, Mississippi State set the record for most strikeouts by a team in college baseball history. And I think the nine inning numbers are 12.5 crazy. You guys threw eight pitchers last night. So almost key to win, because now you obviously get a day off. You're obviously a deep pitching step, but that was huge last night.
Oh, it really was, Scott. And the thing about it is, State's pitching staff is the deepest in the country. They have been all year. We've taken a look at it kind of closely, even going back to when they started the season in February, that, you know, SEC kind of Big 12 challenge out there in Texas. They played three games and threw 22 different pitchers. I mean, it was just crazy.
Wow.
And they're all good. Yeah, it's just crazy how many different guys they have put on the mound. We've seen throughout the year this team in midweek games, in those Tuesday, Wednesday midweek games, would quite literally throw seven and sometimes eight pitchers in a nine-inning game. And it's because, you know, they've got a deep staff, they're all good. Lots of different matchups at your disposal, and during the year you're trying to get all those guys some work as opposed to just throwing bullpen sessions. So, you know, a staff of arms, number of arms, State's got them. It's just a matter of what do you get out of those starters. And these two games in Omaha are a great example of that. Bednar goes out against Texas and sets a record, 15 strikeouts in six innings, combines with Sims to go for 21 Ks in a ballgame. And then you come out, and McLeod, who's been your ace all year, doesn't make it two innings into last night's game. So the starting pitching has been very up and down.
We're talking to Matt Wyatt over in Mississippi. Does a highly popular radio show there across the state of Mississippi, and also on Saturdays during the fall, you can hear him doing color analyst work there for the Mississippi State Bulldogs. He's joining us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. All right, so let me ask you this. How shocked were you that Tennessee went 0-2 and that Vanderbilt is on the cusp of potentially being eliminated?
Yeah, I'm not all that shocked that Tennessee's out, just because, look, you can be a really good team and go 2-Q in Omaha real quick. You know, and they were competitive in both games. It's first-time experience for a lot of those guys and for that program and for Bocelli as their coach. They're going to be back. So much more surprised to see Vanderbilt where they are. Now, Pat, here's the thing about it. Vanderbilt's been here before. They fought their way through the loser's bracket before to win a national championship.
Yeah.
So, and they have the team and the roster to do it again. There's no question about it. But when you look at the fact that in the way they lost that game the other night with Leiter being so dominant on the mound, yet they just could not score runs, that's surprising. Vanderbilt, people need to understand, they have the best roster top to bottom in Omaha, period. That's a program that has had the number one baseball recruiting class in five of the last 6 years. You know, the way they recruit at Vandy, Corbin is kind of Saban-esque, if you want to compare it to Bama football. That nobody compares to their recruiting. So when people are going, well, Rocker already threw for them, and then Leiter, now who's going to pitch? Well, I promise you it's going to be somebody good. Okay, that's who's going to pitch for Vanderbilt. And they got a great chance to come out of it. They're just in a position now where they've got to win three games in a row or they'll be going home.
And for fans listening in, Leiter and Rocker, probably two of the top eight. I saw a poll last night of the guys that will be in the draft this year, but that's how good they are. Pat and I were talking, and I just happened to look this morning because I was thinking of Mississippi State baseball, as you were talking about, and us being so close in proximity. It, along the lines of Alabama in football, Kentucky in basketball, obviously LSU deserves to share the stage with you in that regard. But State has never won a national championship. It's amazing the passion, the fervor there, and you guys have been multiple SEC champions but never won the national title.
Yeah, that's right. I've been to Omaha a bunch. And, you know, a lot of people here, Scott, are thinking, okay, is this the year, you know, and is this the one? And you're due for one. And, you know, baseball doesn't care about any of that stuff. You know, of all the big sports out there, baseball probably the quirkiest in that regard. I mean, just ask Arkansas this year. Arkansas's team this year was so dominant and just so much better than everybody else every week. And they didn't even get there. You know, those crazy things happen in baseball. You know, State, who's, this is their 12th trip to Omaha with, and sitting there without a national championship. And, oh, by the way, Coastal Carolina's got one in a trophy case from just a few years ago.
Yeah.
You know? So it's hard to line all that stuff up. It just shows you the sport is different. The sport of baseball is different because it's dependent on who's pitching that particular night. You know, what you have in that guy. But look, State, this is their third trip in a row to Omaha. Their third straight trip with the COVID year in between, which doesn't really count. So they went in 18, 19 now, you know, here in 21. And so, you know, it's starting to border on taking for granted how special it is to get to the College World Series. And you have a fan base now that they're not just happy to be there. It's time to go figure out a way to win this thing. Now, if Vandy gets themselves in that final, win three games in a row, all bets are off because their pitching is so good. But, you know, really, anybody there, State's got a chance. If they can just win one more game, get in that three-game series, they got a chance to get that first title.
We're talking to Matt Wyatt on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline here on Three Man Front, talking about the Mississippi State Diamond Dogs as they continue on in Omaha. Now, we're going to turn the page to football. Mike Leach entering his second season. Just talk a little bit about the offseason program. Got a spring in. That's a good thing based on last year, because of the pandemic. But just your thoughts as we head into the deep summer months about this Mississippi State football team and what we may expect in the fall.
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as the offseason, you know how Pat and Scott, we go to the beach, right? Like, I'll be going to the beach here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But it's for fun and relaxation. And the Mike Leach offseason program, they go to the beach. They call it the Leach Beach. But it's a 50-yard long, 15-yard wide sand pit that they had the grounds crew install next to one of the practice fields. And that's run, do all of their agility stuff and run routes and throw and catch in the sand all summer long. And they call it the Leach Beach. So, and it's really a kind of a unique program, but they certainly believe in it. So that's what they're doing right now. I've seen some of the workouts here recently, and it's grueling. You know, everything they do is in the sand, barefoot in the sand, but, you know, in 100% humidity in Starkville. It's a little different. I think that this is a team that they're going to take a step forward this year. They are going to be good on defense. They've got a lot of future NFL players on that defensive side of the ball. They've got two future NFL corners. They have a five-star transfer in there at safety. It came in from Texas. They've got future NFL draft picks on their defensive front. They got personnel on defense. And on offense, they'll take a step forward, and they will go about as far as quarterback takes them. And that's where the inexperience is. On offense is that quarterback. And that's what our eyes will be on, is that quarterback battle in fall camp.
Final one for me, Matt. And you talked about the image we have of Mike Leach, right, when he came over. That is he tough enough for the SEC? He's affable. He's funny. He throws the ball all around the park. You know, that left coast stuff really works there. Will it work here? Was he tougher than advertised, or he has seen that he needs to add that to become better at Mississippi State? What is your take on that?
Yeah, you know, Scott, a couple of things. One, Leach is very much an old school guy in terms of like every way they approach football except offensive philosophy. I don't know. I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But let's put it this way. If you were to, you know, look at everything they do, from the way they develop players to the way they coach players, the way they run their strength program, the way they run practice, and instead of air raid offense, it was the veer or the midline option, you'd say, oh, yeah, this is old school. This is all old school stuff. So, you know, he's very old school in every approach. It's just that they want to throw the ball, and that's how they want to play offense. And I think that last year they did see that it's going to be a little different in the SEC. And as the year went on and Will Rogers took over at quarterback, you got into the second half of the season, and you started to see the run game mixed in a little more and a little more. And they ran the ball more in a ball game than they did at any point in the regular season in the bowl game. And their offense really worked well in the bowl game. So, you know, there may be some slight adjustments. There may be a few more rushing attempts because of the league they're in. But it ain't going to be much. It won't be much compared to the other teams. It just might be a few more rush attempts compared to past Mike Leach teams.
Matt Wyatt is one of the best in the business. We appreciate it very much. He's joining us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline with zero sugar, zero carbs, and only 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, or spicy pineapple. Matt, hope to see you soon. Have a great summer.
Yeah, you too, guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate
Matt.
It. Appreciate it very much. That's Matt Wyatt joining us here on Three Man Front.
This is Three Man Front.